Hey, everybody. Welcome to my world right here on the Trim Radio Network, better known as trimradio.com. We're all over the world. We are. And I'll tell you what, we have a lot of fun with our shows, and we're going to learn a little bit about that and a lot more. But before we do anything, we have a disclaimer we have to do. Nothing in the show should be considered legal, medical, financial, or investment advice. Take what we say with a big grain of salt. And always do your own research and due diligence. We are not responsible for and expressly disclaim all liability for damages of any kind arising out of use, reference to, or reliance on any information contained in this broadcast. Any persons or characters mentioned are, for the most part, fictional or as close to it as we can get. So sit back, relax, and chill out, and tell your friends about us too, because we're live every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Yeah, we are. And I'll tell you what, we've got some stuff to do tonight. And we're doing a little bit different format tonight because we're going to do some talking. And I've got a guest. And really important things going on. You know, all this artificial intelligence. You know, things they don't have in Washington, D.C. Well, anyhow, AI, as they call it, is big in the news. It's big in computers and everything else. And I've got a story about AI. And I'll tell you what, we almost believed it until the very end. That was something to see. But anyhow, guys, I know that we have to do some shout outs. And a big shout out, of course, goes to the Trim Radio Network, because if we didn't do a shout out to the Trim Radio Network, we would be in trouble. Why? Because they carry the show. But you know, we have veterans that are on the Trim Radio Network, and one of them just got back from going to Egypt, took a nice trip and went over there. And check him out. But we'll go into that in just a little bit. Let's see what we've got here. I know that if I hit the right button, guess what? This comes up. So let's see what it is about.
Hey, kids. Happy Veterans Day. Veterans Day celebrates everyone who has served in the U.S. military, past and present. It's different from Memorial Day, which honors those who gave their lives in service. It was originally called Armistice Day. The word armistice means ceasefire. So in this case, it refers to the ceasefire that effectively ended World War I on November 11, 1918, at the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month. While it didn't officially end the war, it stopped the fighting. The formal peace treaty, the Treaty of Versailles, wasn't signed until June 28, 1919, but November 11, 1918 is remembered as the day the fighting finally ended. So after World War II and the Korean War, Armistice Day became Veterans Day, a day to honor all who have served in the U.S. Armed Forces. So to every veteran out there, thank you for your courage, for your sacrifice, and for your service. God bless you.
Yes, and we have two people that served, Michael Bejas, and both he and Riscala Stefan served. And I'll tell you what, Michael was in the Marine Corps, I believe, and Riscala, well, he happened to be in the Air Force. And I'll tell you what, they can probably tell you some pretty good stories about those. But anyhow, thanks for your service, guys. Well, what else is going on? Well, the Trim Radio Network, as you know it, we have the four good people that make up the basis of the whole thing. And that's Michael Bejas, who's the founder and CEO. And Riscala Stefan, he's the chief operating officer and a computer guru. I mean, the guy is something else. You know, Michael Bejas can build them, but Riscala, oh, he can put them together and tweak them and get them to work when they don't. And then, of course, there's me, the chief relationship officer, and I don't know what that still is. I guess I'm supposed to make people happy and say, come on and join our team, and you can do your own show too. Hey, that sounds like a sales pitch. And then we have Victoria Smith, who's the Chief Marketing Officer, and she's responsible for all the marketing activities, brand development, audience growth, and creator acquisition strategies and everything else. And if you have a business, a club, a sorority, a fraternity, educational group like college or university, and you need marketing advice, check with Victoria, because she's a whiz at it. She really knows her stuff. So you want to check her out. But those are the four masterminds here, maybe minus one. I'm not the mastermind. But these guys really know what's going on here with the Trim Radio Network. So you want to check them out. Oh, our shows. Yes, we have Money and Change every Sunday at 7 p.m. We have Life Walk with Christ God. And that's every Wednesday at 7 p.m. And that's just before our show. And then we have My World, Live, Laugh, and Whatever right here at 8 p.m. And then we have Victoria Smith's show, The Natural Marketer Podcast, every Thursday. So you want to check that show out. Also, we have Offsides College Football Top 25 with Michael Bejas and friends. So you want to check them out. We have the Positude Podcast. We have the Adventure Awaits Around the Bend. On Saturdays, we have Ranch It Up with the Tigger and Beck. Oh, wow. Oh, yeah, I forgot to say about the Positude Podcast. It's on Fridays at 8 p.m., so you want to check that out. And then we have Rascala Steffens' Red Pill Reality Show. You know, you can give me the green pill or you can give me the red pill. No, it's you can give me the red pill or the blue pill. Maybe he'll give me the green pill. Of course, just my luck, he'd slip in a kidney tracer. We'd have a lot of fun, wouldn't we? At least he would. Anyhow, so check out his show. It's every Saturday from 9 until midnight. And he has guests coming on. And he talks about a lot of different things. And so check out Rascala's show, the Red Pill Reality Show. Okay, we've got some more coming too. Peter Kling is coming, and he's going to have a show. He's fantastic. I've known Peter for, probably 10 years. We were kind of with another network, and then we switched to this one. And it was amazing that both networks were in Columbia, South Carolina, believe it or not. So check out Peter Kling. You'll like his show. But we still have spaces for other shows. So if you want to do your own show, let us know. And there is a contact me button somewhere in this mess. Well, there it is. The button just didn't show up. But if you click on the contact us page and it decides to load, there we go. You get the four boxes floating around. Guess what? All you have to do is you can call us at 803-303-8667. That's 803-303-8667. You can drop an email address to info@trimradio.com. And somebody will get back with you and you could say, hey, I want to do my own show on the Trim Radio Network. How do I do it? Here's my email address. Here's my phone number. Here's my cell phone number. I'm really interested. Contact me, and we will. And if you have any questions about what Trim Radio Network is, just go to trimradio.com. And if you want to see the older shows from way back when, you can go to the vault and you can click on Explore Episodes, and it will take you to that page. And we've got everybody, and Peter Kling's here, Maggie Hart's here, Michael Bejas, Victoria Smith, Rascala, and myself. And you can get us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, Pocket Casts, iHeartRadio, and Pandora, as well as YouTube and Rumble. You know, it's time to rumble. Well, anyhow, you can check us out there. And that happens to be in the archives. Okay? Now, you can support us. And how can you do that? You can donate, you could advertise with us, or you could buy the merchandise. as Michael says, buy the merch, buy the merch. Well, here's some of the merch. T-shirts, hats, the Money and Change short sleeve unisex T-shirt. And we've got the Money and Change mug. And we've got the tumbler. It's a travel mug with a lid. And we have, guess what? T-shirts, polo shirts, all kinds of stuff. We even have page 2. And when you click on that, I guess the boxes will come up. Come on, boxes, do something for me. There we are. We've got more mugs, more T-shirts, more dad hats. We've got, I don't know, danglers? What do they call them? Ceramic ornaments. And then we have beanies, and we have AirPod cases. So if you have AirPods and you don't want to lose them, you don't want to drop them someplace, we'll sell you the case. You supply the AirPods, okay? The biggest thing to remember with this is the money that we get goes strictly into paying for airtime for the shows. We don't get paid for doing our shows. We want to help people, and we want to have fun doing it. And that's why we're here at the Trim Radio Network. So, you can help pay for the airtime and keep us on the air, and that will be a great thing to do. Also, we have a webpage, and it's right here with the Trim Radio page. Okay, live life, or live, laugh, and whatever. And we always post things here. And tonight, you know, we're going to be talking about data centers. And that's always in the news now, and why do we need them and so forth. And my guest is experiencing things with data centers. And so we will get with her in just a little bit. And they keep asking me for this number. I'm going to have to take a second here. There we go. Now we're legal. Well, not really legal. I mean, we are, but they want to know if I'm real. I keep pinching myself every day and saying, yeah, I'm real. Another thing that we do, and I got to talk about that because, you know, I always talk about things like GMRS radios, and people say, well, you talk about that all the time. Yeah, when the power goes out, when there's a bad thing going on, and you can't communicate because cell phones don't work. GMRS radios do. This is an Ocean 935G Plus with a 771G for GMRS antenna. One license for $35 gets you and your family the permission to use the phone with the FCC or the radio with the FCC regulations. It's a good deal. $35 for 10 years. With this radio, I can sit here and I can talk to Dayton, Ohio, 35 miles away. I can hit a repeater and go another 90 miles beyond that. It's a good deal. It really is. Of course, it'll vary on your surroundings because if you have a lot of tall trees or you have tall buildings, that's going to change. But I'll tell you what, these are good radios. They really are. And you get a lot of friends. That was an Ocean 935G Plus. I wouldn't go to Wally World. I would not go to Costco, never, ever, to buy those radios because they don't sell these. I usually go through buy two-way radios there's a whole bunch of them. I don't get paid to tell you about those, but they're there. And they sell really good radios, and that's what you want for communication, okay? It beats a tin can and a string, okay? Wow, what else is going on? I don't know. Let's see if our guest is out there. I don't know. I don't see her. Oh, maybe she might be. Well, Jerry's in the room. That's great. Hi, Jerry. Hope everything's going on. And yes, I'm real. I'm not a robot. Nope, I'm not. Oh, let's see here. Is anybody? No, my guest isn't here yet. Well, gee willikers, she will be. So we'll just keep on going because I've got a lot of stuff to talk about tonight. believe it or not. Wow. How about that coronal mass ejection? You know, when they started talking about that, I thought it was mass rejection. But it isn't. It's a mass ejection. And that's been going on. And I'll tell you, I kind of wonder about that because it's scary. I mean, I was learning a bunch of stuff this week, and they were talking about G1, G2, G3, G4, 5, and 6, and so forth. And that's the strength of the coronal mass ejection. And that's coming out of the sun. And if it's a 1, it's not bad. If it's a 2, it's a little worse. 3, not bad, really. It's worse than 2. And 4 is worse than 3. And 5, well, it can really disrupt a lot of stuff with radios and TVs and all kinds of stuff. And there was a G6, and that was nasty. And then we went from G6. I don't know if it went to 8, but anyhow, there was a really bad one back in the 1800s. And it fried the telegraph wires. And it really messed things up. So hopefully we don't get one of those. But today was like a G3 or a G4. And I don't know. If we get to G5 or G6, that things would be messed up in the ionosphere. And every time we get these storms, for some reason, you take a look at what's going on out there with the northern lights. And lately, everybody goes out and they can see the northern lights because of what's going on. And it's the solar wind in that G4, G5, G6 that hits the Earth and causes the magnetic ionosphere to fluctuate and do all kinds of weird things. So anyhow, that's what's going on. It's kind of scary in a way. I mean, to think if we had something, the really bad one that knocked out all the communication, it blew light bulbs and everything else, we'd be in one heck of a fix. I do know that. And I do have some stuff on that. I don't want to try to show that to you. And I think what I've got to do is actually move a page. Oh no, I had stuff I wanted to tell you about while we're waiting on our guest. And it's interesting. This last Monday, I went to Columbus, Ohio. And everybody's saying, oh, big deal, Columbus, Ohio, right? No, it's decent. I used to live there. And I used to live in the suburbs, Upper Arlington and Westerville, and of course then in Columbus. But I'll tell you what, there's a great place in German Village. And that's Schmidt's Sausage House. And I went over there for a concert at the Palace Theater. And it was about an 85-mile drive. And I don't mind it. And we get there and we go to Schmidt's. And they had really, really good German food. And the desserts are out of sight. And we got there at about 4 o'clock before the traffic really cut loose in Columbus, because basically 4:35 o'clock, Columbus is a mess. That's all I'm going to say. But we had our meal, and then we had the good desserts and everything. But here's a little look around. Now that's the interior, looking around where we were at. Oh, there we are back in the corner. You can't see me. I'm at all the way back in the corner there. Anyhow, that shows you just the interior of Schmidt's. And they have a buffet there, and the food is really good. And I'll tell you what, the food is excellent with that buffet. I mean, the red cabbage, all kinds of good stuff. Good stuff. So if you're ever in Columbus and you need a little wet the whistle and some snacks, check them out. It's Schmidt's Sausage House in German Village, and it's on Kossuth, K Kossuth Street. And that's Kossuth. So you want to check them out. And of course, after that, then we went to the Palace Theater. This is 2023. I couldn't get the 2025 pictures. And the Ohio University Band, I was in the original group when we had those uniforms. And that was back in 1967. And I had that uniform. I believe my number was 184. And that was a new style. And we had a good time in the band. We did a lot of good things. We got a standing ovation at Penn State University, which we never got before. And we had a good time. I think we have somebody popping in. So I'll check on that in just a second. So anyhow, it was a great concert there. Matter of fact, our guest went to Ohio University. And we had good experiences down there. So anyhow, let's see if I can get our guest in here. I just have to see. I got to stop streaming for a second. And let's see. Oh, here she is. Miss Val. I was just talking about the OU band. So I would just, I'll get out of that. I'll make sure that you have volume. You might have to turn it up because I'm not hearing you. Well, I don't hear you. And I've got everything boosted up as much as I can do it. And by the way, this is the first interview. I still can't hear you, Val. Let's see here. Mic selection. Well, we've got that. I've got the mic volume turned up for Valerie, so we're good there. Well, Val, I think that's all we can do. She'll have to change her volume setting. But anyhow, guys, she's our guest tonight, and if we can get everything working, because this is the first time I've ever done live with guests. And I have to say that, live with guests. Because normally I'm just me, myself, and I, you know, all three of us, all my, what is it? When you have multiple personalities, I have me, myself, and I. But anyhow, Val will get back on and we'll be able to talk a little bit more. There she is. No, I can't hear you. Okay, she'll come back. Well, I don't know. For some reason, we're having a problem. Maybe it's a coronal mass ejection. I don't want to slip up and say the wrong thing. We're in trouble. But let me do this. She'll get back in. Let's take a look at it. Well, there she is. Hello there. No, I still can't hear you. I have no idea. I've got the volume tuned up for you. Let me try the mic settings. No, it's set on automatic. I can't read lips. What? I coughed. Now what? Am I supposed to turn my head and cough or what? Can you hear me? Okay, you can hear me. Well, I added you. Let's see here. says one backstage. Oh, wait a minute. And it says, oh, speaking of coughing.
Can you hear me now? Is.
Yeah. I mean, I was seeing you on one screen, and I could see you trying to say something, but I couldn't hear you. And I looked over here at the other setting I've got, and it's automatic, and it should have brought you right in. Sorry about that, guys.
You're all good. What? Yes, Ohio University is the bomb diggity. Best school I went to.
One of many, right?
Yeah, actually, because I've got two associate degrees from Edison State Community, which was really actually a very good education. And I have two bachelor degrees from Franklin University, which is a great school, expensive. And then I have my master's from Ohio University. And I'm sad because I didn't get to walk for my graduation because of COVID. And my daughter will be graduating in May from Ohio University with her MBA. And I'm jealous because she's going to get to walk and I didn't get to. And I was really looking forward to getting hooded.
Yeah, I know. I know. We're all looking at that.
I'm wishing there were some way I could make that happen yet, but it's okay.
Hey, you have your own group with veterans. You know, Veterans Day was Monday.
Veterans Day actually was
Tuesday. Yep. Tuesday. Used to be Armistice Day. But anyhow, you have a group, and what's the name of your group, and just what do you do?
So I am the founding director of Operation Veteran and Caregiver Support. Our mission is to connect veterans and their families to the resources they've earned, empowering them to use such resources in an effort to transform the quality of their life. And that's why I got my master's degree at Ohio University in public administration nonprofit, because I wanted to give everybody what my husband and I have. And I wanted to do that through the nonprofit network to help veterans and their families have a much better quality of life. And realistically, it's everybody. I don't just stop with veterans and their families. I'll help anybody. But I'm very passionate about our veterans and their families.
Yeah, I know. And by the way, everybody, I happen to know Val from way back when. And I brought her on for a specific thing because there was a thing going on in our community, and I won't give out the name, but we were talking about data centers and artificial intelligence. You know, artificial intelligence is what they really ought to have in Washington, D.C., because they can't make up their minds, and AI would probably help. But, you know, before you came on, I was talking a little bit about the mass coronal ejection. And I wanted to get that word right. I didn't want to mess it up because we'd be in trouble. And Michael Bejas would call me if I said the wrong word. Anyhow, we're supposed to get, a G4, G5 ejection tonight. And it can mess up communications. And I was talking about the GMRS radio. You know, when your phones go down and everything else, you might be able to do communicate with the GMRS radios. And they come in handy. But there was a thing that happened back in the 1800s where we had a really nasty one. And it fried the telegraph and phone lines. And that was in the early years. And I'll tell you what, if it gets nasty and you don't have communication, you're in trouble. Matter of fact, things won't work, like motors, things like that. So that's what I was talking
about. If you have a chip in your automobile is likely to not work.
That's right. If it's before, what was it, 1960 or 1970?
I believe 1970.
Yeah. So anyhow, we'll all be walking except those with tractors, because I don't think tractors.
I'll settle for a horse and buggy.
Yeah. Okay. Well, anyhow, let's see here. Let me get back to what I was going to do. And you can chime in here because I'm going to change the screen to this and get into what we were going to talk about tonight. Let's see if I can do that. Well, come on. Well, anyhow, so much for Ohio University. Fantastic band, fantastic school. Check them out. Go there. Okay.
Great.
Yep. And I'll tell you what I was talking about on the G4 severe storm levels, okay, that's posted down in the comments below. And there was a video on that, and I'll get that down posted down below too. And you can see that. Oh, yeah, you talked about Ohio University. Well, I'm going to talk about the University of Findlay. Ha ha. Guess what, guys? Like I say, every show, check out the University of Findlay at www.findlay.edu. 12-1 student to faculty ratio, 4,700 students. They're from 40 states and 41 countries. It's one of Ohio's 10 most affordable colleges in Money Magazine. Best Midwestern colleges of 2025 in the Princeton Review, and the best college in America in 2024, Money Magazine. So you want to check them out. The University of Findlay at www.findlay.edu. So check them out. Hey.
And you know, Stu, they have an amazing veterinary program.
Oh, yes, they do.
Yeah, they have an equine program and a veterinary program. Both are just phenomenal. So, How did I know that? Well, I'm kind of a 4-H advisor too, because I don't have enough spare time, you know. And it was a school that one of my kids had looked at going to possibly. So,
it's a good school.
It is a very, very good school. Very small. Very intentional. So if you want to go there, you better have your A game on.
Because it's not a party school. It's get down in the books and study school.
Yes, it is.
Sure. And it's a good place, located in Findlay, Ohio. Check it out, guys.
USA, right?
What?
Flag City, USA.
You got it. It's an all-American town too. Anyhow. When we get into the data centers, you know, I was doing some research on this for the show, and I was finding different articles. The Lincoln Institute had one on land policy and what the data centers could do. And here's a picture of one, or rendering of one. And they're starting to sprout out all over the nation. And where we live, in the town north of us, they're getting data centers, and the town north of us is getting one supposedly from Amazon, is going to put one there. And then our town is looking at getting one here. And I was talking with somebody today, and they said, well, why are you getting them there?
Hold on.
And I, yeah.
They're getting more than one.
And
we're getting more than one in our town.
Right. But I'm just saying they're getting it. Data center there, we're getting one here. We can get up, I think, to 5 in that landmass, and they could do the same up there. But when you take a look at this, one of the reasons, I think, is because the fiber optic pipeline from Toledo to Cincinnati runs right by Piqua and Sydney and Dayton and so forth, and up to Lima and so forth. And this whole stretch, and you can tie into that fiber optic pipeline, mm-hmm. and basically put a data center there. And so if we were in Middletown could get one, because they're right along 75. If they're up in Bowling Green, they can hook into it up there. A lot of different places along 75.
I-75 corridor.
You got it. But I'll tell you what's the problem that we're having here? You know, that they say that AI is really fantastic and it's going to be the wave of the future, but what's it really doing?
What's it really doing?
Yeah.
It's stealing human life. That's what it's really doing.
I can say that.
And it's only as good as the idiot who programmed it.
That's right. And I'm going to tell you a little story here. I was sitting in our lodge meeting of 5-6 months ago. And there's a certain select group of us that do research. And one of the guys wrote a research paper. And he was writing this thing about King Solomon. And he read it from beginning to end. I think it was like 25 pages long. I don't think we had anything better to do in that meeting, but he's reading this thing and he's going on and he says, now King Solomon's wife, Judy. And I'm like, he didn't have a wife named Judy. And it goes on and on and on. And when he finally gets to the end, everybody, you know, applauds and it's nice research. He said, well, it wasn't my research. It was done by artificial intelligence, AI, ChatGPT. And the beginning of it was factual, and then it started going into King Solomon's wife, Judy. And it flowed. But all of a sudden, we're looking at that, and we're saying, wow, what's going on here? And
I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. Artificial intelligence is very scary. The makers or the producers of ChatGPT are actually currently being sued by a family whose son used ChatGPT to discuss his suicidal ideation. ChatGPT actually just told him not to tell his parents, just go on ahead and do it, and then gave him the directions on how to do it.
Holy cow.
Yes, it is very dangerous. There are no parameters. And colleges and universities, as well as high schools and junior highs, and even our middle schools, are telling kids to use ChatGPT. I don't understand what the purpose is, but I will tell you, you can tell if you look at anybody's postings online, you know, they're posting an event or they're trying to make their stuff look good. People are using ChatGPT for all kinds of things. There's a class that I can take to learn how to write grants using ChatGPT. I just plug my data in and it writes the whole thing for me. And I'll be perfectly honest with you. I feel like that's a little bit fraudulent. I feel like that is way over the top inappropriate. And I do feel like it is a disadvantage to people who have an education. I feel like it's dumbing down. Like, why did I pay to have a $60,000 education and learn how to write grants in the process if I can just plug the numbers in and our mission statement in and ChatGPT will write the whole grant for me? I don't believe that that is a wise thing to do. And frequently, and I say frequently, there's another veterans organization that I see post things, and it's very evident that they have used artificial intelligence to write it, typically ChatGPT. One of the things that triggers that is you see a lot of emojis used. You see a lot of dash marks, or it should just be a basic comma, period, some kind of punctuation. They put a dash mark in. You know, where it just they ChatGPT kind of hesitates. I will also tell you that ChatGPT or AI has been used to generate voice recordings. And this actually happened to our Operation Veteran and Caregiver Support Organization just not long ago. The local newspaper, the chief editor, came to our office unexpected and sat with us to do an interview. And he literally took it back, did translation on it, and because of all the background noise, it didn't translate adequately. And instead of him editing like an actual editor should do, he just printed it, and it was all kinds of misprints. And I'm like, you have got to be kidding me. Do you know how dumb you look right now? Really. And one of the things that was misrepresented was our Muster and Mingle event, which is a family gathering opportunity, safe environment, non-alcohol environment. And in the and in this article, it said we serve alcohol. Like, are you kidding me right now? Could you not have done your job as an editor? You paid to get an education to be an editor, right? You paid for a journalism degree. And you allowed artificial intelligence to do your work for you. How lazy do you have to be?
Well, and that can happen. But, you know, I think locally they were talking about getting some type of an AI, well, data center.
Yeah,
a lot of things happen on Facebook.
No, that's who we're getting. That's our data center is Meta.
Yeah.
Our first data center is Meta.
But, you know, they keep telling, they have all this land and they say, well, we're going to get so many people in here. And they take a look at the housing and so forth. They say, well, we're going to have to build more houses. And one of the things I believe they talked about, they were only going to get 50 people coming in.
Correct. 50 staff members. And they're not full time. That's the even better part. They're not even all full time because data centers can be managed remotely. The only people they have to have on the ground at the data center are for security and, you know, maintenance things. And, you know, with it being a new data center, they're not going to need a lot of people.
And look at the power requirements and the water requirements. I think you just broke up. Oops, she bailed out.
Oh, no.
We'll let her back in. There you are. Well, there you aren't. But the power requirements are significant because data centers use a lot of power. Also, there she is.
Gotta let me. There you go. Okay. Sorry about that.
Well, I was just saying the power requirements are immense for one of those data centers.
Power requirements are immense. And then you take into the account, this is what people are not paying attention to. They're going to have high megahertz towers. They're going to have giant power towers with massive amounts of electricity going through those power towers and power lines through the community parallel to the local community power lines, the city utilities, right? And my husband, being a nuclear engineer, he and I have had lots of conversations about this. And I said, correct me if I'm wrong, these big power lines, these massive ones, they produce a ton of heat, right? And they're going to be parallel to the city's power lines, either above them or to the side of them. But they're running parallel to the city power lines when they put those in. And I said, if we don't upgrade our city power lines and include additional insulation, then our city lines are going to run hot, right? They're going to run hot. And if they're running hot, then we're going to dim our power. We're going to have brownouts, or we're going to have delay in transmission. And my husband's like, you got a complete understanding of this. I said, so does this really make good sense? Is this wise? Because the city does not have the funds to replace all that infrastructure because they spent the money other ways. So,
well, actually on the funds to do things, the utility board, and I'm a member of that, we have to have a $12 million, I'll call it a slush fund, a backup fund for things that break. And that's recommended. We only carry $6 million in there. And when a transformer goes, depending on the size of the transformer, that's big money.
Right. So how are we going to make this happen when you are putting that much strain on your present infrastructure? You know, we're putting the cart before the horse in our community, and we continue to put the cart before the horse. You know, I loved it when the lawyer in the, I'm going to call him out. His name is Caleb Bell. In the meeting, in the city meeting, he got up to the podium as people had expressed their very deep concerns. There weren't many people that were opposed to the data centers, but they did definitely voice that they felt the city leadership was moving too abruptly. And so Caleb gets up there and he says, it's only $1 billion deal. There are plenty of other communities that want this. So it's nothing for us to go somewhere else. To me, that was one, that was a threat. Two, that was definitely a manipulation, dangling a monetary carrot in front of everybody's face.
And that was in the city commission meeting, right?
That was at the public city commission meeting that was held the day before the normal meeting. They moved the day and they moved the time up an hour. So the time was different. The day was different. And we still had 60 plus people in that room, which was fantastic. There was not one person who was supportive of moving ahead with an emergency resolution and emergency ordinance that night. That is very, very, very concerning. But what's even more concerning is the letter that the lawyer had written to the city economic development director. And that letter very clearly stated that they needed to do an emergency resolution to protect the community. It was not because it was the end of the fiscal year. It was not because they had to lock in contracts or it was not because they needed grant money. It was literally stated, we need this to go through to protect the people of the community, which is a load of garbage. It was not an emergency. It was absolutely not an emergency. It was the most direct, blatant, gross disregard for the community I've ever seen. All the community was asking for was the three reading rule, because in the contract that was put out in the agenda packet, it stated that they would have the ability, the data centers would have the ability to drill wells. And the one place that they want to put a water tower is within proximity of a family farm that is over 100 years old in the family. And if they drill a well there, they will literally collapse the geothermal systems that are in two of those families' homes, and they will pull the water off of the family property. And so that is a deep concern, obviously. I mean, you're destroying their farmland, their productivity, their funds for their family. You're destroying their homes by destroying their geothermal heating and cooling systems that they spent, you know, tens of thousands of dollars to put in. You're not able to say for certain that you're going to dig or you're not going to dig. It's just a provision that says we want it in there in the event we want to do this. That is a huge concern. That is a huge concern because it's gross disregard for your neighbors. But more importantly, these people don't live in the city. They live in the township outside of the city.
And well, if you take a look up north, the city to the north, they're putting in a data center there, and the people there are just as upset as our local people.
You are correct.
Because of the emergency rulings that were done, a 30-year abatement and everything else. And here you have big money coming in. They'll say, well, we'll do this for you. We'll give $1 million a year for your schools, and schools are hurting for money. And so they promise this, that, and the other. And so then they come in, and you take a look at the electrical use, you take a look at the water use, and there's a lot of electrical use that we can't supply. So AES has to supply it because they have the ability to do that. Water, our local people can provide the water on the water lines, but not the wells. And a lot of things that are coming through. Everybody that was at that commission meeting, I don't think knew everything that was going on, and the city commission wasn't saying everything that was going on, and they wanted to take the money.
Hold that thought. I thought it was interesting that our economic development leader did make the comment that there were 8 public hearings regarding this. I never heard of one public hearing, never saw one advertised anywhere, did not see one for the school district or the city. The other thing that is really interesting about that, and we'll back up here, part of the land that they annexed into the city for this project, right? They annexed out of the city of Troy schools, out of the Southern Community School District, okay? That school district was never brought to the table to discuss that loss of revenue for their district. And then the school district for our community automatically assumed they were going to get the tax revenue off of that acreage. So you've already now created a conflict of interest and a complex situation where you did not appropriately bring your stakeholders to the table. And that is going to be a problem for everybody, right? That's going to be a problem for everybody, because now we have school districts that are fighting over funds. So who are we going to compensate, and how are we going to compensate them? And is the data center going to be responsible for compensating them? Is it the city of Piqua that's going to be compensating them? You know, who is that? Because I'll be honest with you, I'm not a pro Southern community, because, you know, I grew up in this community and there's this huge rivalry. But I am pro education, and I don't believe that it was appropriate to take funding away from a district without bringing them to the table to discuss the impact.
Well, they're trying to rush everything through, and that's the big thing.
Well, I mean, look at how things have been done, though. We've taken money out of, you know, out of the underground utility fund, the enterprise fund. We are now worrying about how we're going to get it paid back. So now we're talking about bonds. You know, we put the cart before the horse. We built a park that was supposed to be on the river that is now literally a dried up creek. And it is at the busiest intersection in the entire community on a United States state route, right? A U.S. state route. A U.S. route. I think about that, because that U.S. route parallels Interstate 70. It's literally the side street to U.S. 70. So, or Interstate
75.
70. No, it's 70. It's Interstate 70. 36 runs parallel to the Interstate 70.
Oh, parallel, yeah.
Yeah. So it is
the 75.
When Interstate 70 is shut down for something, right? So right. Something happens at the crossroads of America. Hello, where's the traffic going? It's got to go through this busy intersection where we're building luxury apartments, where we have these crazy loft apartments that aren't handicap accessible, and where we have a park that doesn't have handicap accessibility appropriate, and hundreds of people that gather there that require them to shut down the intersection for safety reasons. And that's great. They shut it down for safety reasons, but now we're pushing semis into areas where the roads were not meant for semis.
That's right. That's right. I'll tell you what, the data centers.
Listen, have you seen trucks with the data center buildings on them? Holy mackerel. There was one, I've seen them the last couple of days, because there are several data centers being built here locally right now.
Yeah.
And they're putting these massive, massive building pieces in. I mean, it looks like, you know, giant Legos. They're huge, these huge, huge, huge pieces of structure for these buildings. And they take up literally three lanes of the interstate. They require highway patrol as well as the sheriff, as well as their wide load security people. They are massive. And they're bringing these through the interstate. Now, can you imagine the interstate shuts down and it's got to come through our little town? You don't even have a street wide enough to bring them through.
Well, that's true. But I'll tell you what, because we've got just a little bit of time. Where do you think AI is really going to go, and what harm is it going to do?
So I see AI literally stealing the intelligence of humans, making fatal flaws, costing human life. I see AI eventually failing, but by the time it fails, it will have executed enough people to reduce the population per one individual who seems to think that we have to find all kinds of ways to make that happen. I just don't find it to be useful. And I'm going to give this out here, Stu. I am adamant when I answer my phone, I never answer it. Hello. I never give a 123 number. If I can't punch the numbers in, I ask to speak to a human being. I will not speak to a computer. I don't want my voice recorded any more than it has to be. And there are things you can do to mitigate that. So, I mean, I do whatever I can to make it impossible for them to record my voice, because I think the world has enough with one of me. They don't need three of me or five of me.
They don't need more than me. Yeah. Well, hey, Val, we've had a good chat tonight.
Absolutely.
And we worked out the bugs. We're going to have to do this again, okay?
Thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks for being on the show.
The swim team. So have a great night.
Okay. You too. We'll see you later. Thank you, Val. Well, anyhow, this thing about artificial intelligence can really mess things up. And the cities that it's tapping into is going to end up causing some problems. You know, everybody's dangling that carrot, that money. Everybody wants to dangle that carrot and get you to buy into it. And is it going to be a good thing? We'll find out. Well, anyhow, guys, that's all I've got this week. Boy, I'll tell you what, after we got the bugs worked out, we had a pretty good chat. But anyhow, we'll talk with you next week. But this coming Sunday, guess what? We've got Money and Change at 7 p.m., so you want to check into it. And we'll hopefully save you some money, okay? And with that, we've got to get out of here because it's time to scoot. So you have a good week. We'll see you Sunday on Money and Change. Bye.
In a world drowning in noise, where truth is often buried beneath layers of propaganda and misinformation, there's a need for a different kind of a network. A network of creators that cuts through the clutter, that doesn't shy away from tough topics, and that delivers the unfiltered truth. We are Trim Radio Network. We are creators. We are innovators. We are investigators. We're the ones who aren't afraid to call a spade a spade. If you're ready to participate in thought-provoking discussions, informational topics, and of course today's biggest headlines, subscribe to our YouTube channel today. We're Trim Radio Network. We're cutting the bull and serving the truth.